So anytime there's any suffering, it's happening because there isn't complete allowance of what's occurring. If you really look closely at why you're unhappy, struggling, suffering, it's because you're not completely allowing your experience. And in an instant, and in any moment, when there's complete allowance of experience, there's no suffering. And most human beings directly know this. They know this experientially. These, you could say, instances of complete allowance are interfaced with other instances or moments where there isn't complete allowance. And again, if that's looked at, you might say faced directly, you see that any problem in your life, you're creating it. No one else is making it happen. You can see this at a physical level, at an emotional level, at a mental level. If you make levels out of this, it's really not necessary to make levels out of this, because actually there's just what's happening. Every instant there's just what's happening as it is. So notice that when the mind hears this, it can then at times, and it's probably already heard this, it can then in some way or other, maybe not these exact words, it can turn this thing called allowance into a practice. Now I'm going to practice and try to be completely allowing. Does this make sense? Okay, so you could use the word accepting. You could use the word surrendering. Now I'm going to completely allow. Now I'm going to completely accept. Now I'm going to completely surrender. Because when I don't allow, when I don't accept, when I don't surrender, I see that life becomes more difficult. So I'm going to meditate, or I'm going to live to try to completely allow things. And have you ever noticed how that only works some of the time? Okay? That only works some of the time. Because trying to allow experience is not allowing experience. Okay? And yet many people approach spirituality, waking up, enlightenment, meditation, a better life, yeah, a more connected life, more fulfilling life, from this perspective or view called, I'm going to completely allow my experience. And the interesting thing is, you can actually, quote unquote, kind of get good at it. Like anything that you really want to get good at, you can kind of get better at. Well, that's not always true, is it? Sometimes people really want to get good at something and they work at it for a while and they don't. They just don't get better. You ever heard somebody over in the other part of the neighborhood trying to play a trumpet? Or something like that. You know, it's just like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or up to 12 times, 24 times, and the mind goes, would you please just give up? It's not coming together. And maybe you're that person, right, who's doing that thing and you're going, you know what, this just really isn't working. Maybe I need a different instrument, metaphorically or literally. Maybe this is not the right career, this is not the right job, this is not the right relationship, I need to do something else. I made a bad selection. That's why they have add drop at the beginning of many of course
courses that you go through in life that are structured courses, educational courses. Add, drop. It's not quite working. I'm not sure about the teacher. I'm not sure about myself here. So I'm going to take the add, drop week to figure this out. Okay. Lots of different things are set up to kind of give you a chance at doing it differently if what you're doing isn't working. Have you noticed this? Okay. So, if you see that trying to allow your experience only works some of the time, then what does total allowance really mean? What does total allowance really mean? And the answer is actually very simple. If you see that your attempts to be accepting, surrendering, allowing only work some of the time, what is it that allows experience all of the time? And get... Huh?
Acceptance of that. Does it only work some of the time?
Okay, so that's starting to get inside it a little bit. Right? But now, okay, I'm still going back and forth between accepting and non-accepting. Now I've got this other little caveat in there called, I'm going to accept when I'm not accepting. Okay, so I'll tie that one into, I'm still, and then I could bifurcate again, couldn't it? Because that only works some of the time. If you look at this, you're actually, if you're involved in something like that, and that's the way some people do it, is they go, okay, then that worked. Now I just need to accept that. I 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 wasn't accepting that. Let me see if I can accept that. You're still in the same loop. It's just getting more subtle. The idea in there, yeah, the belief or concept or perception is, if I can totally accept everything, then there'll be no more suffering. Isn't that what somebody said? Well, that's what I read. Is that true? Gee, I don't even know that. I actually don't know whether that's true, but it sounds good. So I'll go for that. What would happen if there was an immediate realization that there isn't anything to go for, including total acceptance or total allowance? That's one consideration. The moment before you, quote unquote, stopped allowing or accepting experience, what was happening? You could say, well, it was being allowed. It was being allowed, and then it wasn't being allowed. And then it was being allowed again. Or to do Robin's thing. I allowed that I wasn't allowing. I got that one in my pocket. Okay, I'm okay. Just see that awareness as it is. Not someone who's aware. Not someone who's trying to be aware. Just awareness. Just see this now. Awareness is completely and totally accepting all the time. Awareness completely allows everything as it is all the time. That gets confused or complicated because I start believing and thinking and investing in being aware. Now let's look at this. Awareness is inescapable. Try to not be aware. That's still awareness. The shift is from I am going to practice allowance, acceptance, surrender, openness, to seeing that awareness is naturally open, accepting, allowing, loving, or if you like, this is words, awareness is surrendered.
And tagged on to that, you might say added on to that, is these conceptions and ideas or practices of allowance or awareness. Awareness isn't a practice. There's no one who practices awareness. Awareness is practicing itself. Try to stop it. Try to not be aware when there is the first moment of coming out of sleep. Try to not be aware. It's inescapable. And if it's seen clearly, it's completely inclusive and totally interconnected with everything that's happening. It's inseparable. Even the thought, I am aware and you are aware and we have two different awarenesses, that's a thought that's happening in awareness. It's awareness that sees that. It's utterly and totally, fundamentally simple. It's a backward step into what's always here. Because what gets tricky is we get a hold of a concept, a path, a practice, a technique, meditation. And for most people, you know what meditation is? Meditation is their ideas about meditation. Based on what? Based on what they read, based on past experiences. Oh, that was a good meditation. That was a da-da-da-da. And they've got it all kind of laid out in there. What is it that sees all that? What is it that sees that? What is it that sees this? What is it that's operating through the senses right now, through the body? What is it that's hearing these words? You could say your ears are hearing these words. What is it that's operating through the ears, the eyes, the body, thoughts? That is awareness, and that is totally allowing. Notice this. You don't have to bother going, well, let's see, no. Who is it that's noticing this? Let me see. I don't know for sure. Let me ask somebody else. Did you know who noticed it? I mean, if your brain needs to do that, just see that your brain needs to do that. What many people are doing, because that's what they've been taught to do, that's what other people did, that's what they believe life is about, is chasing after different experiences. Just look at humanity. Look what humans are doing. Collectively, individually, so to speak, going after different kinds of experiences. At a certain point, it can happen in an instant. It can be seen that all those different experiences, up and down and left and right and pleasure and pain and all that, didn't make one iota of a difference at all to what? To awareness. Awareness is the constant. It's so profoundly, simply, utterly, sublimely present, because it is presence itself, that it's overlooked in the name of, let's see what this is all about and where we're going to go and what we're going to do, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, this trajectory. Call it my meditation, my evolution, my getting it together, my awakening, my enlightenment. All those different experiences. All you need is like about a day, not even that, of life to see. Where are all those experiences going? Same thing. Change it around, this way, that way, that way. Every one of them ends in. Do you hear that? Done. Are you interested in what sees that? That is completely, utterly intimate with that and yet free from that at the same time. Because if your freedom, if your happiness is based on experiences that go, guess what's going to happen to your freedom? It's going to go. Is that a better one? Just see. It can happen in an instant. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to practice. You don't have to do anything special at all. It's totally beyond race, color, gender, age. Just see that awareness is completely and utterly allowing everything. And it's not a practice. So for some people, what I'm talking about now is just this little half step. Just a little half step, almost in a way, back from what they've been doing and believing and assuming and investing in. And I'm not saying all this to say, you know, experiences aren't interesting. But if our happiness, if our true happiness, if our ease, if a liberation from suffering was in having experiences, don't you think a lot more people would be a lot happier a lot more often? Because everybody's having all kinds of experiences all day long. So without bashing experiences and saying, okay, Lord, let's get rid of experiences. You know, let's renounce experiences. Not have experiences. Sometimes all that ends up in is somebody who's brittle and tense, not fluid, trying to control their world and have just renunciation. So you take it the other way and you watch what people do when they're very, very like greedy and indulgent. I saw an interview with Donald Crump. Now Donald Crump has an interesting hairdo, among other things. I kind of like it. He pulls it back and down and over. Maybe he curls it a little here. I don't know. And he's being interviewed from some years back about George Bush's presidency. And he's tearing it apart. And if you listen, it's a pretty good critique. You know, it's like, that's a pretty good point, you know, that's a pretty interesting point. Then he starts talking about himself. And he starts talking about, you know how when they put you on TV, he's talking like, when they put you on TV, you know, you got to watch yourself on TV because your ego says you just got to see what's going on. And he's straight out about it. Instead of going, well, I don't think, you know, I'm going to pretend like I'm not that or anything. He's just, you can feel this honesty coming out of him that was a little bit endearing, even with that haircut. And he says, you know, I make deals all over the world. Oh yeah. And he could be inside, I don't know him, but he could be inside like Rockefeller when they said to him, how much is enough? And he maybe did his fingers like this. How much money is enough? He said, just a little bit more. What does that mean? Never enough. So I'm going to renounce, cut it off, simplify, just go like this with life, really, get into my breath, like, I'm okay over here, everything else goes away, get really quiet, I'm peaceful. And then the phone rings, shit, and I'm annoyed, my silence, my renunciation. You know, I got a feeling that comes up. Oh, I didn't plan on having this feeling. I was having just all those feelings. And this other feeling came up out of nowhere. You know, that wasn't part of my repertoire in my little private little sanctum, you know, with my altar in my mind, because that's where the altar is. Any altar out there is an altar that somebody had in their mind that they said, oh, this will look good. Let's put it out there. Boom. Let's put our hand on the Bible. Make that the altar. Swear on the Bible. We make it up. This is meaningful. Let's make this meaningful. Collectively agree. Some people do, some people don't. Some people don't give a hoot about the Bible, and they don't care about swearing on it. And they could be your neighbor. You don't have to be over in another country, following a different God. So, you say, well, let me find the middle way. Let me find the way between the indulgence and the so-called, you know, restraint or renunciation. Let me find the middle way. Okay, where's the middle way? Somebody trying to find the balance. Where's the middle way? Where's the space between these extremes? Ah, I think I know. It's called allow experience. Don't overindulge. Don't eat too much. Don't eat too little. Don't talk too much. Don't talk too little. Okay, don't work too hard. Don't work too little. Let me just find the middle way everywhere I can. I'm guessing because I don't know where it is. So because I don't know where it is, if I'm interested in it, I need to find maybe somebody who apparently knows. Do you know how many people spend time looking for what they really want through other people who they think have it? I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it happens. You notice this? And honestly, how often does that really work out? I found what I really, really, really say, my whole life is totally worth this, through paying attention to you. Check it out. I'm going to have to listen to myself. I don't even know how to listen to myself. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to go inside. I'm going to relax. I'm going to open. I'm going to let myself see what's really going on here. I'm going to see if I can not have a bias, not have a prejudice. I'm going to look into my experience. See if I can sort this out. One of the first things that happens when people actually begin to look inside, so to speak, as if there's something special going on in here that isn't going on out there. Well, that's what the teachings have said for so long. The truth is inside. You must look inside. So I'm going to do that. Okay, so I'm going to look inside. I find a whole myriad of things. I find all kinds of experiences. I don't put my attention inside, I keep my attention outside, what am I going to find? I'm going to find all kinds of experiences. Honestly, has any experience that you've ever had, truly, honestly, been more important or less important than any other experience that you ever have had, honestly? You might see that the answer is no. Because the only thing that really is reliable here is something that doesn't change. It's the most obvious, simple, ordinary, ever-present thing, and it's not a thing. It's not a thing. Like a thought is a thing or a feeling is a thing. It's that which sees. In Hinduism, it's actually called the seer. But it's not a he or a she that's up here seeing. It's the same as awareness. So, again, what happens for many people is they hear stuff like this and it blends with the way in which they live, maybe. It blends with the way in which they meditate, maybe. But there's still a strong tendency or pattern to attempt to accomplish something. I'm going to accomplish something. I'm going to change something. I'm going to be different when I'm totally accepting. And you know what? When the mind is totally accepting, so to speak, not that it really can, but when it's accepting as much as it can, and when it's not accepting, that's a big contrast. And one feels a lot better than the other. So let me do this. Let me do this. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and this one's going to keep biting me in the tail. And I'll do the robin move, and I'll go over and I'll go, okay, I'm going to accept that I'm getting bit in the tail, or the butt, whatever the bite is. I'm going to accept that, or include that. You're still playing a game. What I'm talking about is the inversion of that. I'm talking about how life itself is playing a game with what you call yourself. What you call your life, my life, what I'm doing, where I'm going, who I'm going to, da 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 da. Life is playing its song through you, through that. And when an openness, just for an instant, occurs into that space, it's so profoundly liberating that it's unmistakably, unforgettably profound. And it's not something to understand, like, well, what was that? Let me figure that out. Let me see if I can do that again. Because you didn't do it. It happened when your strategy, your methodology, your meditation, you're this, you're that, you're this, you're that, popped loose for an instant. And then the mind might take that and go, wow, let me see if I can get that again. Because that really, really stood out. That really, really caught attention. Now, attention is not awareness. Right, let's look at this right now. Attention is something that the mind does with what it calls awareness. I am now going to pay attention to this. I'm not going to pay attention to that. Awareness is totally, completely choiceless. It doesn't make any choices. It doesn't have any bias. You want to know what the middle way is? The middle way is awareness. It's not even a way. It's not going anywhere. It's not doing anything. It has no agenda. It has no preference. It has no opinion. It has no bias. It's unconditioned. And you don't become that. Okay? It's already here. That's why in the teachings it's called the always already truth. So then people make another little distinction, because the mind loves to make distinctions in its attempt to understand things. Conceptual distinction. Yeah. Some people call it knowing of awareness. Or some people use the term awareness of awareness, as if there's two kinds of awareness. There aren't. There's no Robin's awareness and Paul's awareness or Saranji's awareness. That's just a thought saying, this is my awareness. Just see that awareness has no name. Even to call it awareness. Who decided to do that? He did. We agree. This is called awareness. This that is constant, unbroken, undisturbed, in any instant in life, no matter what has apparently happened to you, no matter how much you think you have to work out until you're not okay anymore, or until you're okay, all of that can cease in an instant. And there's a complete and total non-disturbance when there's just simply a resting into awareness. And then think, okay, I rested into awareness. Because I wasn't awareness, now I am. See, even the question of who are you becomes irrelevant. The idea or the so-called method to enlighten becomes totally irrelevant. It actually becomes uninteresting. Freedom, suffering, all of those so-called things, good and bad and everything in between, become neutralized. And it's utterly simple. Unstoppably, inescapably present. And it's right here. Now, there's a bonus. If you're interested in experiences, which many people are, when you stop chasing better experiences in the name of your happiness or your freedom or your integration or your connectedness or your love, an experience is allowed to unfold freely in the field of awareness. Experience becomes that much more precious and interesting. Precious because it doesn't last. Interesting because it's no longer being compared. This experience, that experience, this is higher, this is lower, more of this, less of that. Give me 6 dozen of those, none of those, please. On and on and on and on and on. That goes away. And it's like, holy S-H-I-T, experiences, phenomena, all of it is 100% a gift. Total gift. Prior to that, it was something else. Prior to that, it was something to figure out, something to manage, something to remove, to solve, to adjust, to transform, to understand. And I'm talking about a bonus prize. Sounds a little more like maybe the prize. So what happens for some people when they actually drop into what awareness is? Because often what people are calling awareness is just their attention. It's the mind being attentive, and they go, oh, I'm aware. I'm aware, I'm aware, I'm aware. When there's a dropping into the field of awareness, the body is still operating. But what happens is it's clear the body is sitting in awareness. Awareness isn't limited to the body. It just goes poof. Thoughts are happening in awareness, but by no means at all is the awareness disturbed by the thoughts. Feelings are happening in the awareness, but by no means whatsoever is the field of awareness disturbed by the feelings. So what some individuals, you could call them that, or human beings do, is they drop into this awareness, and it's so fascinating that they actually are not interested in experiences. It's not just they're not chasing things. It's like they're simply not interested. They just close their eyes. They stop talking. They just stop. Full on. And there seems to be a division or a separation. Oh, that's a moni sadhu. Moni means silent. Sadhu means renunciate. Oh, that's a moni sadhu. He's, you know. That happens. There are moni sadhus walking around in plain clothes, not robes. They have web pages where they share their teachings. They live in places like the Netherlands and America. And they don't call themselves moni sadhus. And they don't have jobs and they don't have houses. And they live for what? Being talked about here. And I'm not one of them. Because I like experiences. I like experiences very much. I used to think experiences and having different experiences and better experiences and eventually the big experience was what it was all about. I have a big experience called liberation. And what happens is it becomes clear there is no such thing. And in the falling away of the idea and the investment in that thing, that's the freedom. That's the end of the chase. That's the end of running. That's the end of trying to figure things out. And you can still use this tool called the brain mind to figure certain things out. But you're not trying to figure out your existence anymore. Because your existence is expressing itself thoroughly through this awareness that's completely and utterly impersonal, personal, and transpersonal all at the same time. Oh, I skipped interpersonal. Interpersonal. It's the most obvious thing in the room. So whether you're interested in the bonus prize, yeah. And by the way, this awareness, yeah? This awareness, it's the light that lets you see the gifts. The world, as you know it, yeah, is flowing through this awareness, inseparable from it. That's why in certain teachings it's said, you are not in the world is in you. What that means is that the world is flowing through this field of awareness. It's totally simple. And no thought changes that. You could say, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure about that. That doesn't change that. It just might question it. It's given. To try to figure out how it's given, forget it. Why it's given, forget it. You miss the enjoyment if you're busy doing that. I mean, too much. I mean, some people need to do that. Have you ever noticed that your mind needs to do what it needs to do? It's completely on its case. Whatever that case may be. Instead of that being a problem, instead of that being something to stop, like, I have a neurotic mind, I should not be like this, or I have a mind that says I should not be like that, and the teachings say da da like that, and it's all interpretation anyways. Whatever your mind thinks the teachings are is your interpretation of the teachings. As is that thing that people put their hand on and swear. It's called an interpretation. There comes a point for some human beings where they're utterly and totally tired, maybe even frustrated and annoyed with the interpretations. Because they all just aren't even second best. They're a distant third or worse. And if you ever experience this, it can make you, just for a little while perhaps, not want to acquire anything about these matters through any books anymore. Not that you stop reading books. You know, reading books is interesting, but you need to understand why you read books. If you want to understand these things, you need to realize that you can't understand these things. Not with your brain mind. They're not to be understood. That's not their function. They're to be realized. And the only way they get realized is when your brain, just kind of, not even a lot, but just a little, is willing to consider that it doesn't know what it's going for most of the time. It hasn't figured out happiness. It hasn't figured out suffering. It hasn't figured out existence. It hasn't figured out death. It hasn't figured out any of these things. And it's not gonna. So if it's allowed to relax, and that sometimes is another practice, okay, let's relax. Awareness doesn't need to relax, because awareness doesn't get tense. How about that? Can you see this? Awareness doesn't need to relax, because it doesn't get tense. Oh, let me relax so I can become aware. I'm in the way of awareness. You can't get in the way of awareness. Like I said, try to stop it. Try to be unconscious. Just try. Now, the way unconsciousness works is it sneaks up on you. And you find yourself speeding. Let's go with a big number. 65 in a 45. That'll get you a good little something or other if somebody woo-woos you over on that. 20 over, what were you doing? I love those conversations. You ever watch people's faces when you drive by them after they've been pulled over? This is something we all have in common as long as you've been pulled over. What happens to the face when the officer first comes up to the window? not to mention what's happening down in the body. Somebody's going to do a YouTube of that, I swear, you know, and put similarities. People get pulled over. Like, this is the end of the world sometimes. Yeah? The end of the world. Last time that happened to me, I was listening to a tape about these matters in Stark. And what happened from there was lovely, because the guy pulled me over. He says, first line, I love it. He goes, let me tell you what's going on today. Let me enter your space. Let me tell you what's going on today. I loved it. I was like, I guess I'm going to pay for this. These teachings, right? Let me tell you what's going on today. What was going on for me before that was 60 and a 50. I wasn't doing that much. I was only doing like... In Stark, you can go 1 mile over the speed limit and get pulled over.
Right.
Let me tell you what's going on today. And then he told me what I had been doing. You see, because if you're so busy being absorbed in whatever you think is important, you miss things. That's why human beings don't really become fulfilled and happy by becoming very concentrated. That's wonderful when you're concentrated. Oh yeah, it feels great. Everything else goes away. You're just in it. Watch the musicians. Watch the artist. Watch someone when they're really in the meditation. Just watch them. Open your eyes and watch them. If they look like they're concentrated, wow, you can get happy just watching them. While that's happening. And like all experiences, boom, come, gone. And it's over. If you watch that enough, you don't become utterly fed up with experiences. You begin to radically consider, what is this phenomena called experience? For and not for. What does it give and what does it not give? And that becomes a fascinating, not intellectual process, let me rationalize, sort that out, but an honest, sincere, kind investigation. You look at it and go, whoa. And all these experiences are going to come and go, and then the last one is finally here, at least with the breath, maybe, or however it happens in this form. Then what? See, what's profound and sublime and hidden until it isn't is that what really fulfills the human being is hidden inside the experiences, but it's not the experience itself. And what I'm saying now is that which is hidden inside the experience that's not seen until it is that which sees the experience. And just notice that which sees the experience is completely inseparable from the experiences. You want to know what non-dual reality is? Just see that experience is inseparable from that which sees it. And not just, let me think about that. Sense it. Notice it. Realize it. And then you confirm for yourself. You don't need a book. You don't need a talk. And you don't need to go anyplace other than right here. And right here is where you are all the time. You are the thought.
Yeah. Well, you said a number of times try to stop your awareness. See what happens, and that just made me think that some people seem have at various times been one of those people that do try to stop the awareness, whether with alcohol or other self-medications. I mean, there's a motivation there to try to stop the awareness, or at least turn the volume down on the awareness, or dull the awareness.
Stop the full 360, 24/7 party, which is what it means to be awake. Doesn't mean sleep never happens. It just means that there's nothing to turn off. There's nothing to turn on either, you see. That's the other side of it. So I believe that there's something to turn off. I'm trying to mute something. It's too intense. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to feel that. That must and will be juxtaposition to what it is I'm trying to turn on. And what I'm saying is that life is turned on as it is all the time.
But you're right, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work. You can try. You can try all kinds of things. In fact, it's very interesting. It's like we have no idea what happens when someone commits suicide. You know, sometimes we think you can kill the awareness. No, a person's interested in killing the pain. You see, what's fascinating with this is that, and I didn't mention it earlier, but with any kind of pain, when there's complete openness to the pain, it's profoundly beautiful. It's like, whoa. Not only do you see that it changes, which is profound, it changes by itself. I mean, I'm saying go out and get injured so you can see this, but if you do, you know, when pain comes, there's the teachings, there's the Dharma, there's the truth. Profound. It's hard to not pay attention, isn't it? But again, what some people do when there's pain, let me see if I can turn this off. They're trying to change their experience. Awareness is there. It's inescapable. And all that really goes to sleep in sleep is the conscious attention. Awareness just, you might say, settles, and really it doesn't because it doesn't change. All right? It just rests. And there's not all kinds of things happening in that field. It's just sublime. It's just there. See, what I'm pointing to is not what many people think awareness is. Because people think awareness is a thing.
It's confused with attention.
Exactly.
But when you were speaking about attention and the difference between the two, I kept thinking about how attention, we've sort of built up an economy around attention. Like you can pay a certain amount of it, yeah. And then you can end up with a deficit sometimes.
That's right.
There's a whole economy there that we've bought into.
That's right. Mindfulness is being sold left and right all over the place now. And it's going to enter the political sector eventually. Watch it come into the speeches. We need to be more mindful of our neighbors. It's just a few decades into the nomenclature. Mindfulness. Mindfulness, in the way that many people consider it, is not awareness as I'm speaking of it. Awareness is the ground of being. Okay. Many people experience mindfulness as the same as conscious attention because they believe that they're being mindful. I'm paying attention. Now I'm not paying attention. I need to be more mindful. Let me see if I can be more mindful. I wasn't mindful. I'm going to just try to be mindful for the next 15 minutes, okay? And then I'll give myself a break. I'll be unmindful. Awareness is unaffected by all of that. What's fascinating is that in a way it's untouchable, but not untouchable in a detached way. It's untouchable in that it's unaffected. It's undisturbable. And the most important thing, probably, is that it's right here.
You're evoking so many thoughts. To think that, I had a flash, like to think of the concept of mindfulness enters the cultural arena.